This is Eric from Hello Fiasco, and you're listening to Stuart Pink on Phoenix FM.
Yes, it is. It's Phoenix FM Drive, and I'm very excited to say, joining me on the show all the way from the other side of the world, waking up super early to be with us, is Eric from Hello Fiasco. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us on the show, Stuart.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for zooming in. Where exactly are you zooming in from? Can you describe the precise location for us?
Yeah, well, if you want the surroundings, I'm sitting in the middle of mountains on the edge of a town that's called Helena, Montana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 50,000 population, a little small community. That's where I live now, and the other guys are in Canada.
Lovely stuff. More precise than that, this looks like a nice room with wardrobes.
Yeah. I got fancy for you.
Excellent. Love it. Thanks for coming in and joining us. You're from a band called Hello Fiasco, which I love the title of that. The name of the band sounds awesome. Tell us a bit about the band. I think you're a five-piece band, is that right?
Yeah, five-piece band, you bet. So myself, I'm a singer and rhythm guitarist. And then we have Joel Couture, who's a bass player extraordinaire. He's pretty awesome, played with a lot of Canadian bands over the years. And Joel Perreault's our lead guitarist, amazing stylings. He does banjo, guitar, dobro, the whole deal, and he's a great singer as well. And then we have Ivan Burke on the drums and percussion, also a singer. And then Guy Abraham fills out the role. He's kind of a jack of all trades. He plays keyboards, piano. He used to be the lead vocalist in three other Canadian bands, and now he's joined us as our main backing vocalist and runs our Ableton, so does all kinds of stuff. That's our lineup.
Nice. It's always good to have someone in the band who does a little bit of everything, so you can Absolutely. Go, hey, we need a triangle. You're on that.
Sometimes he does the tambourine. He does it all.
Oh, nice. A lot of you sing as well. Lots of vocals. So is there ever any competition?
Oh, there's always some fun and games there. But no, there's no competition. We all know, you know, our part, all play our part, and all their voices fill my voice and make my voice stronger. So we're a team.
Nice. I like it. So you provide vocals and obviously rhythm guitar. Has that always been your kind of musical instruments of choice? What would you always sort of gravitate to?
Well, I started with guitar. I remember the day well. I was in grade six. I remember, I don't know what they say in the UK, but grade six in Canada.
Yeah.
And I remember they brought in a teacher to show us some classical guitar and say, hey, are you excited about being enrolled in classical guitar next year? And a guy came in and he played Stairway to Heaven by Zeppelin, and it was mind blowing. I'll never forget that day. Front to back, didn't sing, but made it super special and classical. And I was hooked from that day. And then I played guitar for a couple of years, and then I ended up starting to sing terribly for several years without lessons. Then I started to train as I got a little bit older and more serious. And so now I'm a singer and guitarist.
Excellent. Can you remember one of the first things you played on guitar? What do you learn on over there?
Yeah, I do actually. They were all Beatles songs. We had a guitar teacher who loved the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So 8 days a week, believe it or not, was the first riff that I actually learned. Even though there's no real riff in that song. But yeah, that's what I started with. Fantastic song. So
cool. I feel I was so much more rock and roll than that. We started on Metallica's Nothing Else Matters.
Oh, that's a great one too.
Literally no frets, so it's dead easy. But only all songs
the simplest
are that simple.
Arpeggio on earth is what they call it.
Yeah, marvelous. So you mentioned growing up in Canada. The whole band, you all Canadian, or I think you mentioned being in Montana. You
right, I was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is the dead center of Canada, a few feet away from the dead center, and on the prairies. And and then some years later, I ended up moving to the U.S. And so I have both citizenships. I live both Canada and the U.S. part of the year, but mostly in the U.S.
Nice. Slowly conquering the world there. Love it. Yeah. So what was it like being in a band in that way? Do you kind of do a lot of things on the internet, or do you just spend your time traveling to and from?
Well, we do most things together, like in terms of playing and recording, obviously, and all that. However, during COVID, it got a little bit crazy for the last few years.
I bet, because
for the people in the UK that don't know, the border restrictions between Canada and the US were not only diverse, but they were crazy. And so even though I'm a Canadian citizen, it was almost impossible for me to cross for a couple of years. And we ended up having to record the last song of this album which is called Before Time Leaves You, in two different countries. So the guy used our normal producer, John Paul Peters, that we've always recorded with. And then I used another producer named Lenny Eckert from Sri Lanka Sound in Helena, Montana. And we did record that song by email, which is unbelievable. It turned out the way it did, but you know, we had to rise to the occasion, but normally we end up playing together all the time. And sometimes I have to send demos from the US to Canada for the guys to pre-learn stuff before we get in the studio together.
I was going to ask you that. So you sort of like, when you're writing stuff, what's that like working in two separate locations?
Lots of voice memos, terrible iPhone voice memos that they get late at night at one in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll send them a voice memo and say, hey, this is an idea. What do you think? And then we start working on stuff that way.
Nice. Nice. Must be a relief to actually get there in person though, after all that timing during COVID, be in the same room. So what made you want to make music? Obviously you as a child learning guitar and stuff, what was the kind of trigger for you to go into this?
I think that for me, even though I was learning classical guitar, then I was learning electric guitar, then I went back to acoustic, then I went back to classical, and I've always had a collection of guitars. But I think the turning point was listening to Bryan Adams, believe it or not, and Billy Idol when I was super, super young, and hearing artists like that, and Bruce Springsteen. And I remember those kind of people that wrote songs start to finish with either themselves or their guitarist, and sometimes obviously their band, but you know, principal songwriters. Also on the acoustic side, Jim Croce, Simon and Garfunkel, you know, Beatles. So all these people that wrote songs that had staying power and the power to keep going on, I dreamed about being able to write songs. I remember hearing Kathy's song by Simon and Garfunkel that was written before I was born. And I remember hearing it and thinking, God, I'd love to be able to play that Paul Simon guitar and then write a song like that, a poem like that. And so, you know, years later that happened for me. And I actually didn't sometimes believe that day would come, but that's where we're at now. And now I work with a team of songwriters, and it makes it that much more special that all five of us have input. Plus we have a producer that we work with that songwrites, who's an amazing good friend of ours, John Paul Peters. And so the thing that I started out on myself became even more special with this band, Hello Fiasco. It's amazing for us.
Nice. I get that as the ultimate goal, isn't it? To write a song that stays in people's hearts and minds long after you're
absolutely
gone.
Yeah, the legacy, right? That's what we all want.
Beautiful. So you're here today to introduce your storming debut album. But I understand you've been working on music together as a band long before you started working on this particular album. You've got a few tracks in the tank.
Yeah, you bet. So we, the three of the guys that are in Hello Fiasco were in a band called The Mailman's Children together, including me, obviously. So Jojo and myself, Eric, we were all in The Mailman's Children. And at the tail end of that, Ivan Burke started playing drums for us because of issues we had going on in our previous band. And that was kind of the turning point where we decided to start Hello Fiasco. And then when we got in the studio, we had a whole bunch of songs to record from over a few years before. Plus, I was writing a lot of new material. And we kind of shifted and took a different standpoint on music. We wanted to start writing more for the listener than ourselves. We had always written more on the progressive side of things, more on the long song side of things. And so we decided to cut nine minute songs, the whole deal. So we decided to cut things down, do less of the instrumentals, start writing lyrics that rhymed more. And we started pulling our music. One of the countries was actually the UK. So we pulled our music in six different countries, and we had a collection of 23 songs that we worked on over 4 years before we started Hello Fiasco. Like, in other words, we publicly announced ourselves in 2021. And then we cut 12 songs, which became the album that people see now, which is called Find the Shoreline. And so we really wanted to take a running start at it. And one of the things we did is we added a player that really filled us out, which is Guy Abraham, because we knew that we needed more vocal, more piano, more synths, more keys, everything. And that was one of the things that kind of popified our music a bit more and brought us into pop rock as well, which is what we wanted to shoot for. We wanted to have more, a little bit of that Muse sound, a little bit of the Killers, and bands that we admire, you know what I mean? So we, in 2021, we decided, all right, it's time. And we released our first record that's doing well now. It's great. We're having fun.
Excellent. So the debut album, Find the Shoreline, is a great title. As you mentioned, it sounds brilliant. There's so much great production in it. You mentioned that bringing in another guy to give you more kind of everything to it, really. I feel you listen to it.
Absolutely.
100% with you on the Killers vibe. Absolutely love that. Where did the title Find the Shoreline come from? What inspired that?
Well, we, as a band, as you know, we took some time to record this. It's not like we got together and got in the studio and put an album together on the fly.
Yeah.
We spent a few years on it. And so during that time, there were a lot of trials and tribulations between the five of us for our producer, the contacts we were working with, you know, trying not just to get things better, but just trying to keep things together. Yeah. And we didn't know for sure what it'd be. We didn't have our name. We didn't have our marketing, nothing. And so we were all kind of out at sea for a while and lost. And a lot of the songs on the record, I write the foundation of the songs, and then the guys all contribute a ton to them, as well as JP Peters, our producer. And so when writing the album, a lot of the songs meant a lot to me personally, but then they tied into the guys' lives because of how I try to write the songs around what's going on in all of our lives. And so we're all lost at sea. That's what the album's about. And we're all kind of just trying to find our way, like you see in the songs. And the songs always have a struggle, but then they always have a glimpse of hope and some kind of success within them, because there's always hope, which is one of our belief systems as a band. You can always succeed. You can always get on that bigger stage. You can always get published and do different things. And so, you know, it's a thing of relatability for people. We all can relate to that one thing of being lost and trying to find the shoreline. And some of us do, and some of us don't. And that's the challenge of life, right? That's where it comes from.
Absolutely. 100% relatable stuff. And I love the notion that even though most of the band live in the center of Canada, which is a very long way from any shoreline, you still feel lost at sea.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of lakes around us in Manitoba. And I also lived in Minnesota for quite a while on the US side, which is land of lakes. You know, 10,000 lakes is their moniker. But
yeah.
So yeah, we get that. We kind of laughed about it too. We should have said lost in the prairies or something, you know?
Oh, I love it, because we're all lost at sea. No matter where geographically,
absolutely.
Still trying to find the shoreline.
In our minds, water in our minds.
Brilliant. So before we chat more about the album, let's have a listen to the debut single, Hold Me Close. What can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, we wrote this a few years before COVID, but COVID changed everything. Because the song is about a couple that's always trapped inside. And I think we've all kind of been there, either in our friendships or relationships, where we want it to be rekindled. We want to get back to the start. And so Hold Me Close is about that. But when COVID came along, it made a lot more sense to all of us, I think, because there was strain on our relationships by being locked inside together or being locked away from people, and wanting to get back to the start where we could all be free and outside and enjoy our lives and do new things, whether it was going to movie theater, which was impossible during the height of COVID, as we know, or whatever it is. And so that's why we made the video around that. And then we'll release the single. We have a feeling that people felt that was pretty relatable and true. So now the track's over 750,000 streams, and the video is over 250,000 views. So we're pretty excited about the fact that the song went over well, and we got lucky with COVID there, I think.
it did inspire a lot, didn't it? This is
it inspired thing. Something for sure.
Excellent. We'll give it a spin now. Do you want to introduce it and we'll play it?
All right. This is Hello Fiasco with their debut single, Hold Me Close, on Phoenix FM.
Hold Me Close, the debut single from Hello Fiasco. Still with me from the band is Eric. Dude, what a song.
Thank you so much.
I absolutely love it. The album, as you mentioned, is filled with great stuff and just brilliant. You mentioned it sounded a little bit of a Killers sort of vibe. When I was doing my research, I saw you guys have been compared to all sorts of incredible bands like Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, Franz Ferdinand, even Bowie. Obviously, you have your own sound. You're doing your own thing, but it must be really cool to be compared to some of these names.
You bet. It's a big honor for us. We won't hide the fact that back in the day, we were playing different kind of music before Hello Fiasco, all of us individually. And we wanted to move more towards pop rock and get on bigger stages and have a bigger sound and a sound that was more exciting to people and relatable. And maybe they could stomp their feet or dance to it once in a while.
Yeah.
And so being compared to these people was a really big honor for us. We're nothing but excited about that.
Awesome. So what sort of gravitated you all together in that way? All being in different bands and doing different stuff. How did you all meet? Was there a Tinder for bands?
Well, we're all from the same community. That's how we all know each other and how we all met. And originally, if you look at it the simplest way, we're all from the French Quarter of which is called Saint Boniface in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and so that French Quarter has a massive amount of musicians coming out of it at all times. And so we all kind of grow up knowing each other, even though we might be in different schools and stuff. We all play on the scene together. We go to the same jazz club. We end up going to the same French festival and so forth. And so that's how we all met each other, knew each other, and we'd all seen each other play. And yeah. when Joe and I, who run the band together, Joe Couture, our bassist, we wanted to make sure that we kind of made a mini super group. I'm not assuming we're that good or anything, but people that had been on the scene for a while and know their stuff and yeah. can tour and can play and can perform and can write and can execute in the studio. And so that's how we assembled our little army of Hello Fiasco.
Amazing. So you mentioned that you all having played in the same kind of area there and sort of been in that music scene. Is there anywhere you haven't played yet live as a band that you would absolutely love to go and descend
upon?
The reason
I'm on the phone with you right now is because that's the UK.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
The UK is a big one for me. And obviously for us and the guys, it's France. In other words, we really want to get into Europe. A few of us have toured Europe extensively over the years, but with Hello Fiasco, we haven't yet. So we're playing in Canada right now this year and then US next year. And we're really hoping to get over to the UK soon and to Europe. So that's kind of our next target area.
Excellent. We'll see if we can make it happen. We'll have a word with the guys at Glastonbury.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So the album's out now. Absolutely awesome. Find the Shoreline. On your own record label, The Mailman's Children, you mentioned that was the name of your label, your band. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing, isn't it, huh? It's it's both our old band. And it's our indie label that we created for Hello Fiasco, not just to protect our assets, but also to market the band and run the business through and everything. And so we thought it was kind of funny if our old band, which was the foundation of a lot of us, managed and owned or whatever you want to call it, or distributed our new band. So the Mailman's Children Inc. is our label technically, but everybody calls it the Mailman's Children. So
nice. What's it
that
like?
Came from.
Putting it together and releasing something on your own band's label. Obviously very different to releasing it on a big record label, but you get more control. What's the experience of that been like?
You're dead accurate. I think you know the industry. The DIY scene is emerging pretty victorious right now. A lot of musicians are switching over from trying to attempt to be on a major label to just doing it themselves and doing DIY. And we consciously made that choice. And once we made the choice, Joe and I, who run the business, decided we're all in on this, not just in terms of the work, but investment and everything, our families, our lives. And it's nothing but exciting to control the business and be able to run it. But on the same token, it's also terrifying. And, whatever you do is your own fault, right?
You can't blame anyone else if it all goes wrong.
That's right. Yeah. We're absolutely loving it. And we're building contacts. And our little label is becoming bigger. And we're having the time of our lives doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Awesome. So you We've got a label. You are also the band manager. There's no management for the band, so it's 100% indie DIY, which is awesome. You're out on tour in Canada right now. What's that like to put together and handle logistically?
You bet. Well, we're doing a couple of pre-shows right away here in Winnipeg and Toronto. And then we're working towards trying to assemble Canadian and American shows at the same time, which is tricky because of visas kinds of stuff. It's nothing but complicated. It's not like visas in Europe where it's a little simpler. It's more of a process in Canada than the US. And so when you're indie, that's one of the things right there. You nailed it on the head that it's a little more difficult and challenging to arrange that. So we're trying to work with booking agents that are really good at crossing borders, and that's kind of where we're at right now to make sure that we fill up our schedule. So it's ramping up. It's moving.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to hear when you can give us the news that you're coming to the UK. I'll be there front and center, ready to stage dive and all sorts. But brilliant. Eric, thanks for coming on. We're going to play another track off the album called Gorgeous Girl. What can you tell us about this one?
Gorgeous Girl. Well, that's a fun song. We try to make a mix of fun and a little more dramatic, whereas some bands just choose one path. We kind of like the eclectic thing, and so we always kind of like some songs that are relatable, a bit cheeky, a bit sarcastic, and that's definitely one of them. And all of us in the band love women. There's no knock there or anything, but I think that we also all know the advantages of being a gorgeous girl, and whether we're a man or a woman, I think we've all seen those advantages being played to a female's advantage. And there's no complaining there, because I think men like it and have fun with it. So that's a little bit of the fun side of our band, Gorgeous Girl. That's what the song's about.
Excellent. We'll stick it on now. Thanks so much for joining us. Where can we find out more information about Hello Fiasco and follow you guys online?
You bet. Well, right now you can listen to us on all major platforms, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Tidal, SoundCloud, whatever it is. And also, too, you can definitely follow us on social media. We'd love that. We're at Hello Fiasco on everything, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, the whole deal. And lastly, what's more exciting for people, we decided to be a little more traditional about things. And we have a website built just for the album, which is www.findtheshoreline.com, that has liner notes, credits, lyrics, and everything for people so that they can really get into the album. So make sure you follow us and have some fun.
I love that. That's old school. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Cool. Eric, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us on the show, Stuart.